would be to break his trust with the islanders and to leave them to the imminent dragon undefended. There was but one way to take. The next morning he went down among the fishermen in the principal moorage of Low Torning, and finding the head isleman there, said to him, "I must leave this place. I am in danger, and I put you in danger. So I must go. Therefore I ask your leave to go out and do away with the dragons on Pendor, so that my task for you will be finished, and I may leave freely. Or if I fail, I should fail also when they come here, and that is better known now than later." The isleman stared at him all drop-jawed. "Lord Sparrowhawk," he said, there are 9 dragons out there. 8 are still young, they say. But the old one. I tell you, I must go from here. I ask your leave to rid you of the dragon peril first, if I can do so. Well, as you will, sir, the isleman said gloomily. All that listened there thought this a folly or a crazy courage in their young wizard, and with sullen faces they saw him go, expecting no news of him again. Some hinted that he meant merely to sail back by husk to the inmost sea, leaving them in the lurch. Others, among them Petchfairy, held that he had gone mad and sought death. For 4 generations of men, all ships had set their course to keep far from the shores of Pendor Island. No mage had ever come to do combat with the dragon there, for the island was on no traveled sea road, and its lords had been pirates, slave-takers, war-makers, hated by all that dwelt in the southwest parts of Earthsea, and for this reason none had sought to revenge the lord of Pendor after the dragon came suddenly out of the west upon him, and his men, where they sat feasting in the tower, and smothered them with the flames of his mouth, and drove all the townsfolk screaming into the sea, unavenged. Pendor had been left to the dragon, with all its bones and towers and jewels stolen from long-dead princes of the coasts of Paln and Husk. All this Ged knew well, and more, for ever since he came to Low Torning he had held in mind and pondered over all he had ever learned of dragons. As he guided his small boat westward, not rowing now, nor using the seaman's skill Petchfairy had taught him, but sailing wizardly with the mage wind in his sail, and a spell set on prow and keel to keep them true, he watched to see the dead isle rise on the rim of the sea. Speed he wanted, and therefore used the mage wind, for he feared what was behind him more than what was before him. But as the day passed, his impatience turned from fear to a kind of glad fierceness. At least he sought this danger of his own will, and the nearer he came to it, the more sure he was that for this time at least, for this hour perhaps before his death, he was free. The shadow dared not follow him into a dragon's jaws. The waves ran white-tipped on the gray sea, and gray clouds streamed overhead on the north wind, and he went west with the quick mage wind in his sail, and came in sight of the rocks of Pendor, the still streets of the town, and the gutted falling towers. At the entrance of the harbor, a shallow crescent bay, he let the wind spell drop and stilled his little boat so it lay rocking on the waves. Then he summoned the dragon.
"Usurper of Pendor! Come, defend your hoard!"
His voice fell short at the sound of breakers beating on the ashen shores, but dragons have keen ears. And presently one flitted up from some roofless ruin of the town like a vast black bat, thin-winged and spiny-backed, and circling into the north wind came flying towards Ged. His heart swelled at the sight of the creature that was a myth to his people, and he laughed and he shouted, "Go tell the old one to come, you windworm!" For this was one of the young dragons, spawned there years ago by a she-dragon from the West Reach, who had set her clutch of great leathern eggs, as they say she-dragons will, in some sunny broken room of the tower, and had flown away again, leaving the old dragon of Pendor to watch the young when they crawled like baneful lizards from the shell. The young dragon made no answer. He was not large of his kind, maybe the length of a 40-oared ship, and was worm-thin for all the reach of his black membranous wings. He had not got his growth yet, nor his voice, nor any dragon cunning. Straight at Ged in the small rocking boat he came, opening his long, toothed jaws as he slid down arrowy from the air, so that all Ged had to do was bind his wings and limbs stiff with one sharp spell and send him thus hurtling aside into the sea like a stone falling, boom, and the gray sea closed over him. Phew. Two dragons like the first rose from the base of the highest tower. Even as the first one, they came driving straight at Ged, and even so, he caught both, hurled both down, and drowned them, and he had not yet lifted up his wizard's staff. Now, after a little time, there came three against him from the island. One of these was much greater, and fire spewed curling from its jaws. Two came flying at him, rattling their wings, but the big one came circling from behind, very swift, to burn him and his boat with its breath of fire. No binding spell would catch all three, because two came from north and one from south. And in the instant that he saw this, Ged worked a spell of changing, and between one breath and the next, flew up from his boat in dragon form. Spreading broad wings and reaching talons out, he met the two head-on, withering them with fire, and then turned to the third, who was larger than he and armed also with fire, and on the wind, over the gray waves, they doubled, snapped, swooped, lunged, till smoke roiled about them, red-lit by the glare of their fiery mouths. Ged flew suddenly upward, and the other pursued below him. In mid-flight, the dragon Ged raised wings, stopped, and stooped. As the hawk stoops, talons outstretched downward, striking and bearing the other down by neck and flank. The black wings flurried and black dragon blood dropped in thick drops into the sea. The Pendor dragon tore free and flew low and lamely to the island where it hid, crawling into some well or cavern in the ruined town. At once Ged took his form and place again on the boat, for it was most perilous to keep that dragon shape longer than need demanded. His hands were black with the scalding worm blood, and he was scorched about the head with fire. But this was no matter now. He waited only till he had his breath back, and then called, "Six I have seen! Six! Five slain, nine are told of! Come out, worms!" No creature moved, nor voice spoke for a long while on the island, but only the waves beat loudly on the shore. And then Ged was aware that the highest tower slowly changed its shape, bulging out on one side as if it grew an arm. He feared dragon magic, for old dragons are very powerful and guileful in a sorcery like